where the power of relative hope and relative, you know, political energy a half century ago.
Sewell Chan, we want to thank you so much for being with us, editor-in-chief of the Texas Tribune. We want to talk to you about San Antonio, the 53 migrant deaths. We'll post it online at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Please stay safe.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook at 90.1 and 107.3 and over the internet on WUSB.fm. 6 o'clock on a Tuesday, that can only mean one thing. It's time, once again, for Off the Wall. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes, I'm here.
Well, these weeks just keep flying by, don't they? And it kind of feels like we're stuck in the same place. you know, we don't seem to learn. We don't seem to actually be progressing. We don't seem to be doing enough. And by we, I mean the collective we. You know, I know people listen to the show. We try to do as much as we can to promote positive change and to learn from our mistakes, our many mistakes. But it kind of feels like we're just dragging a whole lot of people who don't want to change. And a lot of them are in power. A lot of them are very powerful people. And no matter what happens, they will not change their very rigid beliefs. And, you know, we can apply this to a whole lot of different subjects, but obviously the one we'll be talking about yet again is guns, mass shootings, the craziness that this country finds itself in week after week after day after day. I mean, it's insane. How many times can I say it's insane? How many times do we have to turn on the news to some new horror and not do anything? Be convinced totally that those people we put in charge aren't going to lift a finger. Oh yeah, we had some bipartisan movement. How nice. I'm thrilled. But it didn't do a damn thing to prevent assault weapons and assault-style weapons and whatever terminology is correct, the weapons that tear people apart, the weapons that are used in the most brutal of wars, the weapons that are not designed for hunting, not designed for anything but mass murder. Yeah. Those you can still get. The bipartisan movement did nothing to prevent that. Oh yeah, there's a bit more of looking into somebody's background if they're of a certain age. But really, nothing that even the slightest motivated person couldn't get around. Nothing that matches what other countries with common sense have done, have been doing. And we can't seem to get there. It's so frustrating, you know? It's like you see the oncoming bus coming and you just can't convince people to get out of the road. You know? They won't listen. They won't change. And they're clinging to something. They're clinging to some misguided belief that this somehow buys them freedom. And you're just left shaking your head and feeling completely helpless. And I think that is the goal, for you to feel completely helpless. When you believe that, they've won. When you believe that they can do whatever they want, while you wring your hands in frustration and say to yourself, doesn't matter who I vote for. Doesn't matter. It's not going to change. Nothing's going to happen. They're all the same. When you say that, when you reach that conclusion, they can do whatever they want. And we can't let that happen. How many times do we have to come on the air and point to some horrible tragedy? And we're referring now, for those of you listening in the future, to what happened on July 4th yesterday in Illinois. Highland Park, I believe, is what the place is called. And am I the only one? When I turned on the TV, I half expected to hear about a mass shooting somewhere in this country on July 4th. I just kind of expected it because that's where we are. That's who we are. So I'm horrified. I'm outraged. I'm not surprised. And I just wonder, you know, how many more times before you just stop caring altogether?
Yeah, I find a particular dark irony, sick irony, in the calls for giving up just a little bit of freedom of privacy and looking into things more and checking up on people more. that freedom, that's okay to give up, but the freedom to purchase any of these kinds of weapons is that's a freedom you can't relent on at all.
Can we stop attaching the word freedom to that? Because that's not freedom. Being able to walk into a store and buy a weapon of war, how is that freedom? It just seems like stupidity. It seems like destructiveness. I mean, are we embracing the freedom to be idiots? If we are, I guess, okay, that's freedom, but that's not what freedom is about at all. That's how you destroy society. And that's what we're doing. We're destroying society. And by we, obviously, I mean the collective we. As most everybody I know is horrified by this, but again, feels helpless, feels like they can't do anything. And that's where they're wrong, because if we band together effectively, and by that I mean, let's stop tearing each other apart for whatever reason. If we agree on this, let's work together. We can argue later about other things, no problem. But for this, we need unity. And we need results. And we need to get the bastards out of power who keep letting this happen. There's absolutely no rationale behind the things that we see happening on a daily basis. There's absolutely no reason in the world people should be able to get their hands on such horrible tools that serve only one purpose. And yeah, most people don't misbehave. Most people are responsible. It doesn't mean that having that in your house or in your possession still isn't a really bad, irresponsible idea. And I'm sorry if you don't see that. I really am, but the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And we have to all agree on that. It's not Orwellian. It's not taking away your rights. It's not going against what the damn founding fathers said. I mean, if we're going to keep going back to them, they had no knowledge of assault weapons. They had no knowledge of bullets, even. In the 1700s, things were a hell of a lot different than they are now. So don't even give me that. It's nonsense. And if you look at the wording of this Second Amendment, it does not say what you want it to say. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Clarence Thomas or the guy down the street. You're reading it wrong. If you think it means that you can just get whatever weapons you want and stash them and do however you please. No. Carefully, well-regulated militia. The phrase is a well-regulated militia. You skip over that part when trying to quote it, but that's pretty clear to me.
Those interpretations are really meant for the legal terms in constitutional law and other kinds of stuff that a judge would look over, right? It's not really something you would apply to like your everyday life and thinking. You know, unless you have that as a religion or something, that doesn't apply to modern society. We have plenty of laws that are very old that help us in the modern realm, but this we seem to have a huge blind spot for.
Even if it was written 20 years ago, it was a different society, because this was a country that had just been formed, still had to worry about the British. People were basically defending the country from foreign invasion. Not really what's happening right now. So right away, things have changed. But over 250 years, things have really changed. It's just not a valid argument. And I know, who's going to listen to me? Who's going to listen to any of us? Well, they'll listen to all of us. And I think that's how we have to speak. Or we just accept horrors like yesterday as normal. I mean, is that what we want? You know, I was watching a lot of coverage of this. I really shouldn't. It's bad for you, but they're your fellow people, you know? It matters. And just looking at that parade, you know, seeing kids walking down the street and then seeing them running in terror. You know, not knowing what's going on at first. People on the sidelines, some of them are clapping, some of them are looking around. But it was clear the kids in the street what was going through their minds. And, you know, at the end of the Pride Parade in New York City, a week or so ago, in Washington Square Park, somebody lit off a firework. Someone said it was a shot. Everybody ran for their lives. Panic again. At the anti-gun rally in Washington, D.C., someone said there was a shooter on the loose, and people started to stampede. This is our reality now. And if there's no other question to ask, just ask yourself, is this what we want to give to our kids? Is this the normal we want them to live in, where they're looking over their shoulders and running down the street and always terrified that someone's going to end their life any second and that of their entire class or friends? Or this is the normal you want to give them. Is it worth it for you to cling to this perception of what freedom is? Because you're screwing up a lot of kids for their entire lives. And I didn't grow up thinking like that, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners didn't grow up thinking like that. And it was the same country. The same country a few decades ago. So you can't really point back to the 1700s or the founding of the country or our history or anything and say this is normal. It's not. This is a sickness. It started in the 80s. It's getting worse. And it will destroy us if we don't do something about it. But that's the issue. You know, it wasn't normal to go to school and have to go through a metal detector. It wasn't normal to have a cop in the hallways of your school. None of that was normal. I mean, you know, at Stony Brook, where we broadcast from, there was this knowledge that whenever the administration wanted to do something bad, you know, whether it was closing something popular or changing the regulations, they would always do it while kids were on vacation, or they would do it gradually. They would never do it in a way that was an overnight change, because if you do it suddenly, people see the transition. They say, wait a minute, it wasn't like this yesterday, and now it's worse. We can't tolerate that, and they wouldn't. But if you change a little bit, I remember, okay, one specific example, in the dormitories. I have no idea what it's like in the dormitories now, but used to be in the dormitories, you had kitchens. Everybody could cook, you know, it was either at the end of the hall or some dormitories had kitchens in their rooms. And they gradually started forcing everybody to go onto the meal plan so that they couldn't cook by themselves. They'd have to go to a cafeteria or something like that. Now, if they did that all at once, there'd be riots. There'd be all kinds of protests, but they did it slowly. Then they had certain dormitories where there was no more cooking, but there were still dormitories where there was, and people were okay with that. And then the next group of students would come in. That's all they knew. That was normal to them. So then they took away a little more until eventually it was all gone. I don't know what the motivation was for that. I don't know if that's still the way things are, but that's the tactic. That's how it works. That's how you make these changes. You just do things slowly. And then people grow up thinking that's the way it always has been. Well, if you're a younger person, believe me, that is not the way things have been. That's not the way things are supposed to be. And that's not the way things are in other parts of the world. There was a mass shooting in Denmark. You hear about this, Carl? In a mall? Oh, this really gets me because, I mean, it's a horrible thing, obviously. But if you look at what right-wing politicians have been saying and what Fox News has been saying, and I hate to do it, but you have to pay attention to what they're saying. They basically were pointing to this as proof that gun laws don't work. Saying, look, they had a mass shooting in Denmark where there's gun laws. That's your proof right there. Gun laws don't do a thing. It doesn't prevent mass shootings. Do you know how many mass shootings they have in Denmark? I think you can count the number of mass shootings in the past, well, I don't know, 30 years or so. on one hand, probably have a lot of fingers left over on one hand. You couldn't do that in this country today. In one day, you have more mass shootings than Denmark has had in 30 years. So it's precisely proof that gun laws work. Yeah, you can't prevent every bad thing from happening, but you can sure cut down on it. You know, it's like saying, why cure cancer? People are still going to die of something. You know? Yeah, maybe so, but a lot less before their time. There was a mass shooting in Gary, Indiana. No one's even talking about it. No one even has time for that. Three people killed. That's the same number that were killed in Denmark. But, you know, it's, I guess, what you'd call an alternative shooting. You know, for people who are bored of the one in Illinois, hey, there's a shooting for you in Indiana, neighboring state. I'm sure there's many in just about every state in the union. That's the sickness we live in right now. But every one of those people, every one of those elected officials who is clinging to that and just spouting such nonsense, saying that this proves that we're right in not having gun regulations. Oh my God, how do you let them get away with that? And yet they continue to do it. We have to talk about the kinds of people who go down this path. Now, before they caught the guy yesterday, they released his name. And I guess it was the 4th of July. It was a holiday, so the social media platforms were extra slow in taking down the material, because we were watching the news for a while. And I said, okay, you know what? I'll see if there's any, you know, because they still haven't found the guy. I'll see if there's anything interesting about this person that might, you know, lend clues or something like that. And right away, you know, hey, there's his Facebook page. And, you know, it's his Facebook page because all these people are cursing at him, saying, you're going to get caught, et cetera, et cetera. And you just saw these kind of disturbing posts. And then there's Twitter. And then YouTube. Now, YouTube was the interesting one because there were all of these videos on YouTube, and boy, they were disturbing. They were haunting. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just basically this guy who looked menacing. And I don't like to say that because, you know, people have all kinds of bad impressions of other people based on how they look. But knowing that this was the person they were looking for, I guess it made it seem so much more chilling. I'm going to do something that I'm not entirely comfortable doing. I want to play you some audio from one of those videos. This was put up in 2021, a year ago, almost a year ago. And it's the killer, the alleged killer, talking about his plans. This is something that was up. This was something that people saw. And we're not going to say his name. I'm not going to give him publicity of that sort. But I do want people to hear this kind of content. It goes about a minute and a half, and it's disturbing. It really is. But I think it's important to analyze this as a piece of evidence the entire country needs to look at, not just in this case, but in general. And we'll discuss it afterwards. Again, this is from, I believe, autumn of 2021. The visuals, if I recall, because all the videos have been taken down, everything was taken down eventually. He's basically kind of standing in rooms looking menacing, standing outside. There's these weird kind of artistic shots, but some of them are just creepy and scary.
Yeah, a lot of it is like self-produced, sort of in the music video style, and there's a lot of repetition, like sequences of videos, and then that sequence of cuts is looped over and over to the music, and then it comes back, and there's some graphics and stuff. It's pretty thoroughly, like, you know, invested. You know, he's created this whole persona, and it seems to have been labeled. I mean, it's just like you were saying, to have been up for so long, to have even any people following this and not maybe parents or community members looking around, maybe saying like, what's going on?
This is what we're going to discuss afterwards. And this is why we're playing this. It's not to give him any publicity. We're not going to speak his name or do anything like that. But this is the kind of material that maybe we should be looking at. Let's listen.
Like a sleepwalker, I am breaking through no matter what. Like a sleepwalker, unable to stop and think. My actions will be valiant, and my thought is unnecessary. I know what I have to do. I know what's in it, not only for me, but for everyone else. Where am I going? I don't know. I don't care. There is no past or future, just the now. It is more abstract than I could ever imagine. I can feel the atmosphere pushing me in. It's unstoppable, like a wave pulling me under. I can't breathe without it. I can't see or hear what I don't want. I need to leave now. I need to just do it. It is my destiny. Everything has led up to this. Nothing can stop me, not even myself. Is there such thing as free will? Or has this been planned out like a cosmic recipe? It is what I've been waiting for, in the back of my head, ready to be awakened. It's what I was sent here to do, like a sleepwalker, walking steady with my head held high, like a sleepwalker, walking blindly into the night.
And that was the whole video. The only one where he actually spoke of intentions. And what they're reporting in the media is that this was planned out for weeks. I think it was planned out a lot longer than that. This was from last year. And not only that, you know, he had, if you're unfortunate enough to see these videos or see these images, he had the number 47. All over the place. I think it was even tattooed on him. Did 4/7 mean July 4th? If so, then this has been specifically planned out for quite some time. But the real issue here is, okay, so a video like this was out there for a while. And apparently nobody thought it was really something to take note of. And I guess my question is it? Because there are videos like that. There are record albums like that. This guy fancied himself a musician. In fact, he even had material for sale on Amazon. Not anymore, but, you know, this was somebody that was quote-unquote an artist in the eyes of some. So, okay, we hear a video or we hear words like this. What do we do? What are we supposed to do? Do we report them? I mean, clearly now we can say that should have been a warning sign. What really should have been a warning sign was the fact that he threatened to kill his family in 2019 and had a sword and knives confiscated. But apparently it was no problem for him to go out and buy weapons. He bought weapons legally. Not a problem. Threatened to kill your family? Oh, you threatened to kill your family with a knife and sword, but not with guns, so you can have guns. I mean, I don't follow how that's even possible, but let's for now look at the video, or the words of the video. Because, you know, what I'm worried about is that we see people expressing themselves in a particular way, and we label that as the threat. We label people who express themselves in a dark way, or who seem to not like their community or the people around them. And while you may in fact find some true threats, you will also find a lot of emotionally injured people. And does this make their lives even worse? Does this protect us? It's really not possible to tell. Sure, it's a warning sign, and probably should be investigated in some way. But I think we all know somebody who's like this. I want you to close your eyes for a second. Think back to school, or if you're still in school, think about school. Think about that one kid who just seemed off his rocker, just seemed like he had a screw loose, was, you know, you didn't know what he was going to do next. The kid you would not trust. Think about that kid. I know we've all thought of who that is by now. Right, Kyle? You have somebody in your mind.
I have a list. There's a few people.
At least three people in one class. But regardless, we can all think of somebody like that. Okay. Now, is that person going to kill other people? Probably not. They're probably just a little strange. Is being strange bad? No, not at all. But we can all think of somebody quickly, and we can all point the finger quickly. It doesn't necessarily solve the problem. But now, think of that same person. Think of that same person going out and walking into a gun store and just buying all kinds of guns. Now what do you have? I think that is where the threat is born. Because this guy, he obviously had some issues, but without the guns, how badly would those issues have manifested themselves? Beyond possibly hurting himself, or certainly nothing on the order of what happened yesterday. As soon as you give somebody the access to all these horrible weapons, and they have emotional issues, that's where things really start to go wrong. So a dark video, ominous words, don't necessarily add up to a true threat. Throw some weapons into the mix that are easy to operate and can kill a lot of people, and there you have it. I don't know why it's so hard for us to realize this. I mean, you know, if we gave people nuclear buttons, you know, and just somehow convinced ourselves that we all had the right to have our finger on the button too, why should only the president be able to do that? You think maybe some people would press those buttons? Yeah, I think they would. How do you get those buttons not to be pressed? You don't give them access to the buttons. Simple enough. You live your life. But we can't get to that point. That is what's so frustrating. The answer is staring us in the face, and we just can't do it.
I think of it as like the factory of the where these machines just keep coming, like it's a wave, a tsunami, where like the futility of just being all magnanimous and trying to figure out ways and define things and pick up the pieces, so to speak. While we're powerless to have the unfettered sale and just constant manufacturing of stuff like this for short-term gains, mm-hmm. in an industry that really has free rein, they got, you know, there's plenty of ability to run their business.
Well, okay, if this is about...
And I feel like there's a lot of culpability there. And mm-hmm. when we were at some of these rallies, a lot of young people feel that way too, I think. Like, they just see it as really greedy and paid in the lives of their peers.
If this is a business thing, if it's about money, can't we outspend them? You know, can't
we brought
we,
that up. Yeah, that's a good
I
idea.
Mean, you know, if it's about buying politicians, I'll bet the anti-gun lobby has more money than the pro-gun lobby. I'm sure, of course, politicians won't admit readily that they're for sale, but come on, we all know they are. I'm just saying, you know, we have to attack this on all fronts, not just the moral front, but also, okay, the corrupt politician front as well. You want to play that game? We can do that. But the thing is to stop this, however it can be stopped. We have to think creatively. And like we talked about in previous weeks, that goes to not glorifying guns everywhere, you know? And this is not something that I think is should be regulated by anybody. I think it's just something that we as people should reject. You know, we don't like smoking anymore. So people don't smoke in many places. Yeah, there's regulations about that, but there's no regulations about smoking on TV or in movies, but yet you don't see it as much anymore. You can still do it, obviously, but it's not something that is revered. We can do the same thing with guns. You know, and when we have warnings in the front of films and TV shows, you see smoking as one of the things to be wary of, or just to note that is coming up. You can put guns in there too, not just violence, guns. And we could start rejecting those shows and those movies that glorify guns. That's a step. That's a big step that we can take. It's not saying that's the cause of it, but it certainly doesn't help. It doesn't help to be seeing all these crazy gunfights that seem cool on screen, and then impressionable people wonder, why isn't it cool in real life?
It's a regressive form of storytelling, because we're saying that this is just start reflecting the society, or, you know, this is the kind of stuff that our audience wants. And, well, they want it because they're being advertised all of this ideals or patriotism and all this identity wrapped up in a product. And so, of course, that's going to creep into their entertainment preferences. And, yeah, action can come in a lot of forms, and horror and drama, but it doesn't necessarily all have to revolve around a revolver.
Yeah, and same thing with video games. You know, you don't need to just have shooting in video games. I've always, since I was a kid, I've been bored by that. I want to do other things, like, you know, drive around in the car and explore the world, or go into space, or various things that involve living or building. Not shooting so much. I know, you know, there's a market for that. Some people like to do that, fine, but it doesn't have to be front and center. It doesn't have to be the only thing. And it is for so many. It's the only outlet. And of course, our military pushes that. They want people who can do a good job shooting, so they feel training them on video games is the way to do that. Not necessarily the best way to expose kids to their future.
I think there's some culpability there too. They probably distanced themselves. I think they shut down one of their games they were publishing.
Yeah, I heard about that.
There was a Vice or some story about that. But uh-huh. I think the solution is really a comprehensive, like across the board in all attributes. But we can't, as a community, as a society, bear the responsibility all ourselves.
Right.
This has come from concrete decisions and I'd say dubious leadership or lack thereof. Leadership. It's an important project that we've really got to approach.
Yeah, it's one element, but the main element is getting rid of assault weapons and assault style weapons, whatever it is you want to call them. It's not what the founding fathers had in mind, and it's not good for us, and it's got nothing to do with your Second Amendment rights, and they need to go. Now, if you really are into these weapons, and fine, go down to a range and practice there. You know, hunting animals by blowing them up, which is what these weapons do. That's not exactly what hunting is. There's no purpose to have these weapons except to kill large numbers of people. So let's stop with this. And, you know, I think part of the responsibility is on us for not speaking up loudly enough, you know, in the past. Instead of constantly saying, oh, no, we're not going to take your guns. We don't want to take your guns. Well, we want to take these guns. Yeah, I mean, if you want to have a pistol in your house for whatever reason, or a shotgun, or, you know, a regular rifle, you know, like on the Rifleman, whatever, fine. You know, assuming you're sane and you have a legitimate use, fine. That's totally within your rights. But this is a result of us not cracking down and letting people get away with anything they want. And we have no trouble drawing lines. People can't have tanks. You know, they can't have cannons. Somehow we drew the line there. I don't know when that was, but no one's really objecting. I guess it's not cool to have a cannon. I wouldn't mind a cannon, to be honest. I wouldn't do anything with it, but just kind of cool to have a cannon. But yeah, you know, we got to grow up. Again, think of what we are doing for future generations. It's sick. It's horrible. And, you know, hats off to both the governors of New York and New Jersey. Even after the Supreme Court with their insane ruling last week on guns, they passed new laws that fought back, because you can do that. It doesn't have to be the final word. It doesn't have to be the end of the fight. No, it's the beginning of the fight. And this time, we're really going to fight. This is Off the Wall. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. It's interesting. You know, when we talked about this in years past, both here and on the other show and in the magazine, most people who wrote in were arguing, saying that our position is wrong, that we should be able to have all the guns we want. It's our right. Not so much anymore, because most people get it. Most people see this is not right. So that tells me that we're not insane. That tells me there's hope. So don't feel like you're alone. Don't feel like you can't make a change. You can. You can certainly start on a local level, and you can band together with people throughout the country and counter all the lies and nonsense that are being spouted with facts and the truth. Okay, we have a letter from a listener. This is a listener in Germany. From, what is it, Leipzig or Leipzig? I always forget which one it is.
Leipzig?
Let's say Leipzig. Okay. From Leipzig. Thank you, Emmanuel and Kyle, for your shows. Your talks are educating, funny, and inspiring. Yeah, this is a real laugh riot show today. I have been listening to your voices for over 5 years. So much happened. I remember the changes of opening tunes, from the lively Obama song to the ominous Trump track and to the suspenseful Biden jingle. I'm glad someone's paying attention. Yeah, we change our theme every time there's a new presidential term. And yeah, it was kind of ominous when we had Trump for 4 years. But now it's a little bit, I guess, a jingle, maybe. All Philip Glass compositions. It works.
It's jaunty.
Yeah, jaunty. Absolutely. I have no idea what's going to happen the next term. We'll see. We'll see. I remember the tense episode with the antenna. I was so worried about the future of the radio. Even bought a shirt to support you. Happy you're still on the air. Thank you so much for that, by the way. And as far as the antenna goes, we are currently broadcasting on a temporary transmitter, and we are in the process of getting our permanent transmitter. Just bureaucracy, supply side things. We should have something by the end of the summer. And then the other frequency, 107.3, currently being stepped on by neo-fascists in Connecticut. Long story. We're going to move that and improve our signal so that those of you who were listening to 107.3 because you couldn't get 90.1, you'll be able to listen to 107.3 again. And not the neo-fascists. Of course, you can't hear me say that because they've taken over the airwaves. But regardless, we're working on it.
It's going to be a fun install. I plan to help.
Yeah, it's going to be. We helped with the last one.
We'll have a work party. And it's very interesting for folks like us, but we supervise.
Yes, and much thanks to Frank, our chief engineer, just for making the impossible happen. We just celebrated our 45th anniversary, 45 years of this. Wow. Anyway, continuing with this letter. Happy you are still on air. You both have become a sort of unseen friends. Then listening to you chatting is a pleasure for sure. You know how few people say that? Thank you. Thank you for those words.
It means a lot. We really appreciate it. And we will happily continue on being that friendly other side of the conversation.
Hopefully talking here about better things than what we're talking about tonight. But, you know, we're not going to ignore when the world's falling apart around us, which unfortunately it's been doing lately. Continuing here, your show was introduced to me by a dear fellow who has a birthday on the 1st of July, which just passed. He is having a hard period now, as we all in Europe are. I just wonder if you could wish him a happy birthday on the air. It would be a great gift for him. Absolutely. This is for Max Egorov, who is a great man and devoted friend, according to this this writer. So happy birthday to you, Max. Thank you for all the good you do and for listening. And we love Leipzig. I assume you're in Leipzig, too. Maybe you're not. But we've been to Leipzig a few times. And, yeah. Isn't that where the congresses were held?
Not next year.
No, it's going back to Hamburg next year.
Yes. Wow. But in the past, yes. Yeah, yeah. The Congress Center there, the Convention Center.
Oh, spoiler. I don't think people knew that yet because that's coming out in the next issue. But yeah, the annual Hacker Conference takes place in Germany, always on the 27th through 30th of December. Was in Berlin. Well, first it was in Hamburg to start with. Then it went moved to Berlin.
It was in Berlin.
Then it moved to Hamburg. Then it moved to Leipzig, and now it's going back to Hamburg. That's the third time it's going to Hamburg. Well, they were rebuilding. They were rebuilding the massive conference center that they have.
It's good to be agile and...
It's amazing. They have these massive conference centers in every city in Germany, it seems.
We have them as well in the U.S., but they're not as massive.
Yeah, not as massive.
They do massive different there.
They really do. Anyway, continuing here. I hope your best wishes will brighten his day. He likes your show so much. And Max, I hope they do brighten your day. You've brightened our day, and both of you. John from Leipzig, thank you for writing to us. And an example of the kind of letter that we get sometimes from listeners. Not enough people write, though. And I'd say that, you know, in general, people just don't write enough. You know, they send text, maybe. But, you know, typing out full sentences. Articles, you know, because we're a magazine. We like to print articles. But you have to write the article. It can't just be a link. So, yeah, let's focus on that a little bit more.
Communication. And storytelling and catching up, it's been changing forms and people's attentions are highly sought after. But of course, keeping relationships and open channels of communication near and far is truly a resource that we can't live without.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think we learn that every day. So again, otw@2600.com is our email address. And please, while you're at it, don't forget to support WUSB, the station at Stony Brook. You can go to wusb.fm, pledge your support that way, and help keep us on the air so that we can live to fight another day. Let's look at some local news in Northport. The red-tailed hawk has attacked again. Yeah, a jogger, I'm not kidding about this, nature fights back here on Long Island. Yeah, we're not kidding around. A jogger and a woman gardening along Main Street in Northport Village were attacked by a hawk last Wednesday. That's according to the village police chief. How did the cops get involved in this? I mean, when they write out a report, is the assailant hawk? How do they do that exactly? Because you have to fill out the paperwork. You know, and there's really not much room for flexibility.
Okay, sir, how tall would you say this bird was?
Yeah, you got to answer these questions.
And
then, you know, Newsday printed this story. They have a picture of a hawk, but it's not
the same one.
It's a hawk from 2021.
They're using a stand-in.
Actually, it was another hawk that was captured in Northport Village. Apparently, there's a few of them. one hawk they captured, then they moved to a distant place, and he came back. Because guess what? Red-tailed hawks can find their way back. Yeah. Who knew?
Wow. Shout out to the photo editor there.
Yes. Anyway, the attacks renew concerns spurred in April by a spate of incidents. Anytime you get to use the word spate, it's a win, I think. That involved an aggressive red-tailed hawk. There was a jogger on Main Street that it swooped down on, and then there was a woman gardening in the church parking lot that got attacked, according to Chief Chris Hughes. It had been relatively quiet. Well, guess what? Northport, it's not going to be quiet anymore. The hawks are back. Now, neither person was hospitalized nor sought medical attention. The hawk is nesting just east of Main and Church Streets. Don't go there, listeners. Don't go there to see the hawk nest. You'll live to regret it. After a series of hawk attacks last year, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, in August, trapped and relocated a juvenile hawk. And it's suspected that hawk is the one that came back. In April, Hughes said that since July of last year, there had been 15 incidents, including 11 attacks. Wait a minute. What could the other four incidents have been? If the hawk's not attacking you, what constitutes an incident? Flying in the sky or shrieking at you?
Maybe it was like in the roadway or somehow
blocking traffic.
Yeah, keeping people from going about their normal activities. I don't know, some sort of disruption.
How about the hawk's normal activities? Have you thought about that? You know, the hawks have been here longer than we have. I don't know that for sure. I'm pretty sure it's true, though.
That is a really hawk-centric
outlook. Thank you. No, I try to be hawk-centric whenever possible. Officials had planned to remove the nest in May, but a resident alerted officials the day before the nest was to be removed that there were two chicks in the nest. I love stories like this when people are looking out for nature and saying, you can't move that nest, there's two chicks in there. So the police chief said, we did not want to disrupt the nest at that point. We thought we were going to have to wait until August or September when the chicks had fledged the nest, but it appears that has happened. The chicks have fledged. And for those who don't know what that means, it means the chicks have grown up enough to fly on their own and are probably attacking people in neighboring towns.
Because they have college debt.
Yeah. Who knows? They are going to try and move that nest.
Okay.
Out somewhere. So if you want to adopt a red-tailed hawk and have it in your backyard where you will occasionally get attacked, it will happen, feel free to call the police chief of Northport. And I'm sure they'll be happy to unload the red-tailed hawk on you. We saw a video, actually, in Tompkins Square Park in New York City. There are red-tailed hawks that have been living there for decades. Christo is one of them. Yes, we name them. We name the hawks in parks in New York City. That's what's amazing. And people follow the hawks. They know what they're doing. They knew when Christo was cheating on his mate. I'm not making this up. But she got injured. She was in a hawk hospital. I'm not making that up either, the equivalent of a hawk hospital. And while she was convalescing, he basically started socializing with another female hawk.
How is he supposed to know? Honestly, it's not like, I mean, he thought she was gone forever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she didn't send the card.
You know what that means?
But they had kids.
He made peace.
But here's the thing. They had kids.
He moved on.
And then she came. It was awkward. It was awkward because she came back and didn't know where she fit in. There was drama. There's a whole lot. There are blogs about this. There are pictures. There's the most amazing photography about red-tailed hawks in Tompkins Square Park. Look it up. And it's not only that park. It's all throughout Manhattan. I'm sure it's not just Manhattan. It's all throughout the country. Embracing nature is really an awesome thing to do because there's so much of it around. There's so much to protect and to make better. You know, we hear about how we keep destroying the environment. Well, we can do better. We can improve the environment. And I see signs of that all the time with people who care. People who care to tell the police chief, hey, there's chicks in that nest, you know, or just to slow down for a bunch of geese crossing the road or a bunch of wild turkeys or being chased by a wild turkey. That's kind of cool. Nature has all kinds of surprises. And I think here on Long Island, we get to appreciate that a lot. So yeah, there's that. Any other updates? How's our garden doing?
Very well. It's not getting as much attention. I know everyone has been enduring the heat. It's been quite hot, and getting their watering schedules just right. We have a resident rabbit. Yes, Ein Hassenpfaffer.
A rabbit just moved in, which I guess is okay. We have the garden fenced, and inside the fence we have another fence, and that's where the sunchokes are. We grow sunchokes because they grow, and they apparently, you know, when we were told that they grow vociferously, yeah, they do, because now that fenced in area where the sunchokes are now growing outside of that, and they grew without us asking them to grow. They're perennials, and they're tall, and they look healthy, and I've yet to taste a sunchoke, but hopefully this year I will.
I think the strategy of not harvesting them was actually, it wasn't a bad idea to let them grow a couple seasons, because it's really spread and still pretty hardy.
Yeah, so. But I think you can harvest them, and they'll still grow just as aggressively.
We could probably harvest them and replant in other beds, like spread them out further, but and then we'll come back even stronger.
I want them to bloom. They haven't really bloomed like they should.
So this feels like a bloomy year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bloomy year. I think
it might be.
And we've had some issues with rose bushes. We had a rose bush that was doing great, and then all of a sudden, all the leaves were eaten, and the thing looks terrible now. So we're spraying it with, what's that stuff we're spraying it with?
A soapy detergent and neem.
What's it called?
Neem.
Neem. Okay. So hopefully that works. We'll keep people updated. Hey, we're out of time. Finn is up next. Again, please write to us, otw@2600.com. Hopefully next week we'll have a happier show and we'll talk about more positive things. But for now, not so happy. And we got to get busy. We got to make changes. And don't take no for an answer. We will see you next week.
Hell no.
Hell yeah. All right.
Peace.
Good night. Bye. Vous sur le soleil. Burn Babylon, burn down, burn down. Babylon, burn down, burn down. Poor Babylon, burn down, Babylon, burn. Them rather kill we cut them, can't stop we energy. Them run out with guns when they use them my devil. Just like when Cain him kill Abel. What make you so hateful? Who know disgraceful? Can't stop a rebel. Rien n'a changé depuis Mandela. Les riches deviennent lobby et puis changent les lois. L'État est plus sévère qui défend des droits. La terre que tu laboures en terre là. Le profilage racial est à chaque jour. T'as croire que ma face est une cagoule. Je surveille ma famille sur le carrefour. J'ai peur que c'est mille en sur chaque douille. On dit que je parano. Joie des corps, la terre en évolution. On parle de nous à la télévision. Mais sans mentionner notre révolution. Burn Babylon, burn down, burn down. Babylon, burn down, burn down. Poor Babylon, burn down, Babylon, burn. Them rather kill we cause them can't stop we energy. Them run out with guns when they use them my devil. Just like when Cain him kill Abel. What make you so hateful? Who know disgraceful? Can't stop a rebel. Mais tes jeunes garçons en prison, jeune façon possible. Les générations qui veulent rive et c'est vérité, crème ni pas bon. Nous voulons dans gang bandit, yo pas qu'à casser l'esprit. Fumer des crèmes blanches, mais ce qu'elle en pâte est éclaircie. Dans la Bible, il est dit que le Christ règne. Me donne mes 13 et donne ce pouvoir à ce système. La chapelle 16 est un whitewash, un tour de pastel. My bad, c'est tour de bypass, un tour de Babel. J'en m'envoie, lève le majeur, écris ta gueule. Minorité visible, majorité aveugle. Sous le capot, on a le même auteur. Empreinte digitale signée par le même auteur. Cible sur terre, même auteur. Burn Babylon, burn down, burn down. Babylon, burn down, burn down. Poor Babylon, burn down, Babylon, burn. Them rather kill we cause them can't stop we energy. Them run out with guns when they use them my devil. Just like when Cain him kill Abel. What make you so hateful? Who know disgraceful? Can't stop a rebel. Dieu relève les vomir et lave les continuer de conduire et travailler contre son Christ. C'est ça la vie, se moquer de la matrice. Smoking cannabis, ok, magnifique. Pyramide fiscaux, des pigeons, une bourde amnésique. Dans tes yeux, Babylone brûle et sa rancune des vers fumés. La rancune est ta rancune des terres brûlées. Ah, c'est l'argenture de la nature, des ailes plumées. Et la censure des dramaturges over-scrutés. Le nom vilain va invoquer une vérité. On s'élève enseignant, personne ne vit aider. Joins les flics, dire.
push it in salt and pepper spray. Left and right. Burn Babylon, I burn down, burn down. Babylon, I burn down, burn down. Poor Babylon, I burn down, Babylon, I burn. Them rather kill we cause them can't stop we energy. Say Babylon est un devil. C'est un accident si tu prends des balles. Tu prends maximum si tu te révoltes. Révolte, révolte. Révolte. Ton majeur pour la